This is Lorne Green. Our story takes place in Wyoming, around the turn of the century. It's a true story, part of the real Old West. It all starts on a cold autumn night in the heart of cattle country. It's a little after midnight. A raw wind howls through a remote upland valley, buffeting a ranch nestled there. In a large corral, the ranch's cow ponies are restlessly milling around. Their ears are pricked for danger, as if a coyote or a wolf were nearby. Then the cause of the horse's fear becomes apparent. Out of a gully come two dark figures on horseback. They approach the corral. Without dismounting, the first rider drops the top rail of the gate. Leaning out of the saddle, he dislodges the next rail and guides his horse over it into the corral. While the second rider waits a ways off, the first quietly circles the cow ponies, moving them toward the gate. Confused, the ponies balk at the gate. The rider whirls his lariat in the air. A rangy sorrel leaps over the downed rails and gallops off. The others follow. As the horses thunder up the gully, the sound of their hooves are swallowed by the wind. And that's only the beginning of our story.
Mutual Radio Theater, a new adventure in radio listening. 5 nights of exceptional entertainment every week, brought to you in Elliot Lewis's production of the Mutual Radio Theater. Our story, The Horse Thieves by Anne Heath. Our stars, Joan McCall and Alan Young.
The daring midnight raid is to affect the lives of many people, but none will be touched by it in quite the same way as one young woman. That woman is Eleanor Stewart, who has recently traded city life in Denver for the hard existence of a homesteader near Burnt Fork, Wyoming. She's married a burly Scott sheep rancher named Clyde. During the past months, her feelings for him have grown, and so has her love for the rugged life they share. One day... But we're going to let Eleanor tell the story.
One day, late in the fall, Mrs. Kincaid had come over to visit. She owns a neighboring cattle ranch. She's a stout old widow with the merriest brown eyes. It's worth a severe bumping just to welcome her. Like my Clyde, she has a kind heart, though she's as bluff in manner as he is. I suppose that's why they get on so well. We had just finished supper. Clyde and Mrs. Kincaid began their inevitable game of cribbage while I sat by the fire reading. Clyde was telling us of a raid on a ranch about 75 miles away.
They got away with 30 head of good horses. It was a god-awful thing they did. But it took more than a wee bit of courage.
Well, I'm not one to admire thieves, especially horse thieves. How many of them varmints did you say there was?
Only two. But one, that Murdoch man, is an outlaw. Desperate, they say.
Murdoch? I've heard that name before. Didn't he rob a bank a few years back?
It was about 8 years ago, over in Laramie.
I thought he was locked up.
Yeah, out on parole.
Parole? They let that hoodlum go free?
Dinna fass yourself, woman. I didn't make the laws. The sheriff has a great posse out looking for them. A braw manhunt it is.
If the sheriff and his men catch up to those outlaws, there'll be bloodshed, won't there?
Oh, there's an awfully small chance the sheriff would overtake those two.
Well, there's nothing for us to worry about anyway. Trouble being away off in the next county.
Let's be thankful for that, then. Here, it's your count, woman.
I feel sorry for those poor men. It must be terrible having a price on your head.
That's my lass. The softest heart in all Burnt Fork.
Well, stop your teasing, Mr. Stewart. You're no better, and you know it. What other rancher has to have a name for every one of his sheep?
I didn't know anyone did that.
If Mr. Stewart had children, he'd as soon leave them unnamed as let a beastie go without a name.
Well, that's the way it is back home.
And what names they are, Mrs. Kincaid. I'm not sure I could tell you which is Bloody Mary or Oliver Cromwell or for that matter, which is which of any of them.
As long as the beasties know, that's all that matters.
Oh, ranch life does seem tame now compared to the early days on the range. Look at these pictures in the Gazette. Have you ever seen such wild scenes of roping and branding? What a pity those times don't exist anymore.
Well, that just shows how little you know, my girl.
What do you mean?
Why don't you come home with me tomorrow and see for yourself?
Well, I don't know. I have a lot of work to do.
Well, the work'll wait. You've not been off the place all summer. A wee trip would do you good.
But what about you?
Oh, lass, I can manage well enough without you. I wasn't always married, you know.
Just you remember you are now, Mr. Stewart.
That's one thing I'll no forget, lass, don't worry. Here, you lassies best go to bed. You've a long, dour trip tomorrow.
Well, we haven't finished our game, Clyde.
You've won the last two. I kind of stand to be beat on him here by a woman.
You mean you can't stand to be beat by anyone?
Oh, enough of your blather, you daft. I'm away to play my pipes. Good night to you.
Good heavens, what is that he's playing?
It's a special favorite of his. He plays that tune every night. He's never told me the name of it.
Not sure I'd want to know the name of it.
A little trip seemed the best thing I could think of. But long ago, I learned the quickest way to get what I wanted was not to want it, outwardly at least. The result was that the next morning, Clyde was eager to get me started. When I woke up, he was already greasing the wagon. Mrs. Kincaid had ridden over, so her saddle was laid in the wagon, and her pony, Bismarck, was hitched in with Chub, the laziest horse in all Wyoming.
Now, Chub, you take good care of my wee lass. Off with you now, and Godspeed.
Goodbye, Mr. Stewart.
Goodbye, you scoundrel. Don't forget you owe me a game of cribbage.
A Scotchman never forgets a debt, woman, and I'll beat you good and proper next time.
That day was especially beautiful. To the south, at our backs, were gleaming snow peaks and heavy forests. West, north, and east were long, broken lines of the distant mountains with their blue haze. For a distance, our way lay up Henry's Fork Valley. Prosperous little ranches dotted the view, ripening grain rustling in the warm morning sunshine. The quaking aspens were just beginning to turn yellow. Everywhere, purple asters were a blaze of glory. Over it all, the sky was so deeply blue with the little airy clouds drifting lazily along. The road soon wound round the base of Cedar Hills. Some magpies were holding a noisy caucus in the trees. A pair of bluebirds twittered excitedly on a fence, and high overhead a great black eagle soared. All was so peaceful that horse thieves and desperate men seemed too remote to think about. But that was to change soon enough.
With Mrs. Kincaid as her guide, Eleanor has set out on a journey through a vanishing land. Still new to the West's open spaces, she takes in the ever-changing scenery, the scents and sounds of a Wyoming autumn. She can't know what lies ahead. It's not something a novice homesteader from Denver could easily imagine.
After traveling for some time, we crossed a creek and the buttes. I saw that we were not heading toward Mrs. Kincaid's ranch.
We're going to the mouth of Dry Creek, where it goes into Black Fork. That's where my punchers are holding 500 steers. We'll visit their camp, and you'll come back wiser than before, my girl.
Well, we both came away wiser. I had thought we were going directly to the ranch, so I put up no lunch, and there was nothing for the horses either. But it was too beautiful a time to worry about such things. Anyway, we expected to reach camp just after noon, so a little wait for food didn't seem so bad. By noon, we had entered the desert. The warm red sands fell away from the wheels with a soft hissing sound. Along the trail, someone had placed a buffalo's skull beside a big bunch of sage. On the sage was a splendid pair of elk's antlers. We saw many of these scattered over the sands, grim reminders of a past forever gone. About 3 o'clock, we reached our destination, but something was wrong.
Well, I'll be. There's no one here. Where are those cowpokes got to?
Are you sure this is the right place?
Well, this is where Matt said they'd be.
Matt?
Matt Watson. He's my herd boss. Well, maybe I got my days turned round.
Well, what'll we do now?
Well, something I've been meaning to do all day. Whoa, boys! Hand me that hatchet, Eleanor.
Oh, sure.
Here, will a stick like this should encourage your chub to get a mite brisker pace.
He needs all the encouragement he can get. We took the trail of the departed chuck wagon. Before long, we topped a low range of hills. There, in a cup-like valley, was the herd feeding contentedly on the lush green grass. Soon we saw the glimmer of white canvas, the cover of the chuck wagon. We headed toward it. But not a soul was in camp. The fire was out. Even the ashes had blown away.
Hello! Herman! Where can he be?
I'm so hungry.
So am I. Let's see what's in the grub box. Oh, wouldn't that cramp you? He locked it. Wait till I see that cook. I knew I should have fired him.
What now?
Well, nothing to do but make the best of it. I know. Let's go down to the river. Try and rid ourselves of some of this dust.
This feels wonderful. I felt as dry as that desert.
There's nothing like a good soak to take your mind off your troubles.
Mrs. Kincaid, you don't suppose...
Suppose what?
You don't think those outlaws might have come this way, do you?
You mean them two horse thieves Clyde was telling us about? Oh, they must be across the border by now and laughing their fool heads off about the daring deed they pulled.
Aren't you ever frightened? I mean, a woman alone out here in the wilderness?
Oh, I was a mite skittish at first, after Zeb died. But not anymore. This life's not for everyone. You know that by now. Temperament's got a lot to do with it. Anyone afraid of coyotes and work and loneliness had better leave ranching alone.
You know, I do feel that ranch life suits me. I like to work and to prove things out. But I know I still got a lot to learn.
Well, that's why you're here. And where else could two refined women like ourselves bathe outdoors without fear of intrusion?
Certainly not in Denver. Oh, look, who's that?
Oh, it's Herman. Quick, grab your clothes. Herman! Herman!
Approaching camp was the most grotesque figure on a gaunt, ugly old horse. The poor horse stumbled along bravely under his heavy load. A string of sage hens swung on one side, and across the saddle in front of Herman lay a young antelope. The fat Dutch cook was met with a volley of abuse from Mrs. Kincaid.
And how is it we come to camp half-starved to death, and there's no cook, and there's no food? Is that what you're paid for?
And how is it that you have not so much sense as you have tongue?
What are you talking about?
How have you lived so long in the West and wouldn't know enough to hunt a beanhole when you reach your own camp, huh?
Why, you old tub of lard, I forgot.
Herman removed the stones from where the fire had been, exposing a pit. He lifted from it pots and ovens of the most delicious-looking meat, beans, and potatoes. He spread a tarpaulin on the ground for us to eat from, and soon we were showing an astonished cook just how much two women could eat. When the regular supper time arrived, the cowboys began to come in. Our presence didn't keep them from their bantering.
What's for supper, Herman? I could eat a bear.
Didn't you see the menu?
We're having roast duckling with wild rice.
Oh, is that a new name for beans and sow belly?
I don't care what it is, as long as there's plenty of it.
My cooking is vested on the likes of you.
You're right, Herman. We just ain't used to no gourmet cooking.
You boys, stop wagging your tongues, or I give your supper to the horses. They will appreciate it.
Hey, Daisy, don't you know any tune to whistle sides of them?
Well, but this is my favorite. All day long you're whistling that darn tune. And now you're serenading our supper.
Well, I'm sorry, boys. I thought y'all liked my whistling. Them critters like it, they keep them right peaceful.
Them steers don't know a good tune any more than you do.
Well, maybe not, but my horse does. Jasper loves my whistling.
Well, that don't tell you something.
Hey, Daisy, where'd you learn to ride? Back there in Tennessee?
That's right, it is. I learned on my daddy's walking horse. Bo was his name. That's short for Beauregard.
Beauregard? What kind of a name is that for a horse?
Well, you call that riding. Every time he gets on a bronc, his nose bleeds for hours. Look at there, it's bleeding now.
leave him alone. He can't help it if his nose bleeds.
Oh, that's right, New York. You tenderfeet stick together.
I ain't no tenderfoot. I can ride and shoot as good as any man in this outfit.
Maybe better.
You just may be eating them words if you don't quit your boasting.
Didn't you know? All them fine Eastern folks gets mighty big for their britches.
Just because I'm from New York don't mean I'm no fancy greenhorn.
Well, I gotta agree with you there, New York. You sure ain't fancy. In fact, you're playing gaming.
It's Matt. Hello, boss.
Yeah, well, howdy, boys. Evening, Miss Kincaid. What brings you way out
well,
here?
Well, I brought my friend, Mrs. Stewart. She'd come to get a taste of range life.
Well, how do, ma'am? I hope you find camping out to your liking.
I do already, Mr. Watson.
Well, good, good. Herman, I'll have some of that hot coffee.
How's things burnt forth, boss?
Well, more exciting than usual.
What's up?
Seems there was some horses rustled over in the next county. Thieves got away with 30 head.
How many of them were there?
Just two, but one of them is Clem Murdoch.
The bank robber?
Ex-bank robber. Seems he's found a higher-paying profession. Sheriff's got half the state out looking for him.
Which way they headed?
Well, I don't know for sure, but if they got any sense, they're heading for the border.
They could be somewheres around here.
Could be, boys. Could be.
I ain't afraid of no durned outlaw. My paw waited and bloody go up to his neck, and I...
And you would chip off the old block, right, New York?
That's right. And I ain't ashamed of it, neither. I hope that posse chases them outlaws this way. I could use me some target practice.
No.
New York, anybody ever tell you go to the same place for lying as you do for stealing?
Yeah, you got you there, New York.
That's telling him, boss.
The air began to grow chill and the sky was becoming overcast. Everybody got busy with preparations for the night. Fresh ponies were saddled for the night relief. The hard-ridden, tired ones used that day were turned loose to graze. A tent was put up for me and Mrs. Kincaid to sleep under. I can't remember ever being so tired. Only I couldn't sleep. I lay awake wondering about the horse thieves. I would just have to wait to find out what the next day held in store. But, as I soon discovered, the night was not yet over.
For Eleanor, life on the open range might hold more surprises than she anticipated. Unable to sleep, she lies in her tent and listens to the cowboys around the campfire.
I wouldn't want to be them horse thieves when that posse catches up to them.
You suppose they'll string them up?
Nah. I reckon that sheriff will want to take them back to stand trial.
From what I've heard, that Murdoch fella won't go peaceful. They'll have to take him by surprise.
Mm. How are they going to surprise him with all those men chasing after him? I'll wager that posse will start shooting as soon as they spot him.
You know, I remember a horse thief down in Colorado, name of George. Ran off with 15 head from a remuda near Canyon City. The ranchers chased that son of a gun for 100 miles, and then one of them shot him dead. And the one that shot him was fined $1,500 for taking a law into his own hands.
$1,500?
Yeah.
That's more than 2 years' wages.
What kind of law is that? They should have paid him for killing that varmint.
Huh. Any man who steals a horse ain't worth the bullet what kills him.
You know, I don't know why that Murdoch fella gave up bank robbing. It takes style to rob a bank.
That's enough palavering for one night. We got a long day ahead of us tomorrow.
I was enjoying the cowboys' yarns. As Matt Watson put an end to their storytelling, a gentle rain began to fall. The cowboys hurriedly made their beds. They teased New York about making his between our tent and the fire.
You're dead right, pard, making your bed there. If them outlaws comes this way, they'll think you're one of the women. They won't shoot you. Just us men are in danger.
Oh, confound your fool tongues. How are they going to know there's any women here? I'll tell you, fellas, my old man waited bloody go up to his neck.
And you just left.
I could hear Herman busy with his pots and pans. Then he mounted the tongue of the chuck wagon.
For breakfast, we have cagliaris. First come is first served. And those that sleeps late gets nothing.
Mrs. Kincaid, I never heard of cackleberries. What are they?
Oh, you just wait till morning. You'll see.
My imagination pictured cackleberries as some very luscious wild fruit. I could almost taste them as I dozed off to sleep. But I couldn't stay asleep. I wasn't afraid exactly, but I was certainly nervous. The rain fell gently, like tears. Down by the river, an owl hooted dismally. All nature seemed to be mourning something. Something that had happened, or was going to happen. About a half a mile away, the night herders were riding round and round the herd. One of them was singing.
Oh, bury me not on the lone prairie, where the wild coyotes will howl.
Oh, darn that Tex, he sure has a bed tonight. It makes me want to bawl like a kid. I wish he'd shut up.
Yeah, he's just homesick. We all are, I guess. But there ain't no use in staying awake and letting it soak in. Mm. Shake the water off the tarp. You're letting water catch on your side, and it's running into my ear.
That's the last I heard for a long time. I must have slept. Later that night, something woke me. Mrs. Kincaid, did you hear that?
What's the matter?
I thought I heard something.
Oh, you're probably just not used to sleeping out of doors.
But I felt something tug at the guy rope. At least, I thought I did.
Must have been New York. He's a heavy sleeper, but he ain't a restful one. You go back to sleep. Morning comes pretty early out here.
I lay there in a dozy, half-awake state. Until suddenly I was startled by a loud voice.
Oh! Whose outfit is that?
This is 7-Up, Kincaid. Who wants to know?
Oh, that you, Matt. Sheriff Ward.
Oh, well, right on in.
Well, we've been after Meeks and Murdoch all night.
Well, I heard you was out hunting them fellas. Any luck?
Oh, I almost had them a ways back. One of my boys got off a shot, maybe wounded one of them. But it got so darn dark we couldn't see. Well, we gotta keep going. Their horses are about played out.
How are yours holding up?
Well, we changed in Hadley, but we ain't had a bite to eat.
Oh, hey there, Herman. Get out of there and fix these fellas something to eat.
Well, obliged you, man. Mind if we search your camp?
Make yourself to home. Take a look.
Who's in the wiki?
Sheriff, ladies. Ladies in there. Ms. Kincaid and a friend.
Oh,
how do, ladies? Sorry to disturb you.
Oh, that's all right, Sheriff. As you can see, there's just the two of us here. Mm-hmm. So could you lower your lantern?
Ooh.
The light's a mite hard on these old eyes.
Oh, sure thing, ma'am. We'll leave you be, then. Evening, ladies.
As Herman got a fire going, Matt and the sheriff went from bed to bed. They even searched the chuck wagon.
Hey, what do you think you do here?
We gotta search everywhere.
But I have been sleeping there the whole of the night. You have no right to...
You're talking to the sheriff, Cookie.
And you is talking to Herman Loder, the best trail cook in all Wyoming.
Oh, well.
How I do apologize, Herman. I guess we wasn't properly introduced. Say, how about getting my boy some grub? Huh?
I will. But you leave my wagon be.
Oh, fair enough.
The sheriff finished his search and joined his men around the fire. As they gulped hot coffee and cold beef and bread, the rain ran off their slickers in little rivulets.
Boy, this grub tastes mighty good.
Yeah, I'm glad. You and your men must be about played out yourselves, Sheriff.
Oh, we're bone weary, man. We've been pushing those outlaws hard.
Which way was they headed?
North. My guess is they intend to hit the railroad. They'll never make it.
What makes it so sure?
Every ford on the river is guarded, except right along here. And there's 5 search parties ranging on the other side.
Sounds like them outlaws don't stand a chance.
Well, my party's split. A bunch has gone on to the bridge. If they find anything, they're to fire a volley. Same with us here.
Well, there ain't many places they can cross the river. Cliffs are too steep.
Yeah, I figure they couldn't cross nowhere. Are they at the bridge or here? Oh, there's the signal. On your horses, boys.
Good luck, Sheriff.
The men were in their saddles in less time than it takes to tell it. The pounding of the horses' hooves grew fainter, and soon all was still. I kept my ears strained for the slightest sound. I kept expecting the posse to come back with dead or wounded, but there was not a sound. Herman and Matt, the only man up, went back to bed. Matt had risen so quickly that he had been careful about his tarp, and water had run into his bed.
Oh, darn it, my bedroll is soaked. Yeah, ain't the first time.
Oh, what a night. I ain't slept this poorly since the first night after Zeb died.
What time is it?
I don't know. I'll light a match. It's 3:00.
Has this sort of thing ever happened to you before?
Not to my recollection.
But you seem so calm.
I'm an old woman, girl. Ain't much can surprise me no more.
Do you think they caught those outlaws?
I don't know. I reckon they will soon enough.
I hope no one is killed.
Yeah. You just stop your worrying. Whatever happens, there ain't nothing you and me can do about it. I'm going to try and catch up on some sleep. Why don't you do the same?
I'll try. I am tired. The rain had stopped. Through a rift in the clouds, a star peeped out. I could smell the wet sage. A little breeze came by, bringing Tex's voice again, singing to the herd.
Oh, it matters not, so I've been told, how the body lies when the heart grows cold.
Lorne Greene again, and here's the fourth act of The Horse Thieves.
Come und get it! For breakfast we have cackleberries und antelope steak!
I was afraid no cackleberries would be left if I waited too long. I surprised the earliest risers by joining them around the fire.
Hey, you are up early this morning, Mrs. Stewart.
I couldn't sleep any longer, Herman. I'm so hungry. Good morning, Mr. Watson.
Good morning, ma'am. How about some coffee, Herman?
Here you are, boss. Good and hot.
No, thank you. Oh, I just ain't worth speaking to till I've had my coffee, ma'am.
Oh, I understand. Clyde, that's my husband. He's the same way. I never cared about it much myself, but somehow it does taste better out here.
Mrs. Stewart, you won't eat while this is still hot.
Oh, yes, please. I held out my tin plate while Herman filled it with an antelope steak, an egg, and 2 delicious biscuits. When I'd finished, I said, I'm ready for my cackleberries now, Herman.
Listen to her now, will you? How many cackleberries do you want? You already have what I cooked for you.
Well, Herman, I haven't had a single berry.
I guess you ain't used to our lingo, ma'am. You see, cackleberries and eggs are one and the same.
Oh, I see. Well, I guess there are times when anticipation is better than reality.
What say, ma'am?
Nothing, Mr. Watson. Tell me, have you any news of the posse?
Well, ain't heard nothing since they lit out of here last night. Hey, Herman, see if you can persuade that loafer New York to get off his backside, will you?
With pleasure, boss. New York, turn out of there or I scold you good.
All right, stop kicking me, will you? What the deuce was you fellas kicking up such a ruckus for last night?
You blockhead, don't you know?
Know what?
The sheriff was here, searched this whole camp last night.
Well, I'll be.
There was a battle down at the bridge afterwards. Either they all got killed or else nobody's hurt. They would have been here otherwise.
There was a shootout with the horse thieves?
Sheriff took a shot at him yesterday, but I guess he missed. They got away anyhow.
Well, I'll be damned.
And you just laid there and snored, you darn fool.
I sure wish I'd have known what was going on. I'd have joined up with that there posse.
And said goodbye to the 7-Up for good.
Oh,
go on. Get your breakfast before there ain't none left.
Sure wish I'd have known.
Hey, wait a minute. What happened to your shirt?
What's the matter with it?
Well, looked like it's all soaked with blood.
Oh, that darn Daisy must have crawled in with me, that's all. Blame his bleeding snoot. I'll punch it and give him something to bleed for.
Daisy ain't been in all night.
Huh?
Daisy took Jesse's place when he went to town after supper.
Well, then who did crawl in with me? And why was he bleeding?
I ain't sure, but I aim to find out. Boys, search this camp!
Hey, boys, over here.
What'd you find, Hank?
This rope here's been cut, boys.
My horse. Somebody stole Happy Jack!
Hey, boss! Boss, I found a horse down by the river. He was hid in the willows.
Is he mine?
No, I never seen him before. He ain't tied or nothing. Never even moved.
Looks like that thief made a trade. His own tired nag for the best cow pony in the outfit.
Boss, you don't think...
Yes, New York, you had company last night all right, but it wasn't Daisy.
Then it must have been...
One of them outlaws crawled right in with you and you never even knowed it.
You mean he was right there next to me?
Look that way. Must have been there the whole time the sheriff was here.
Well, I'll be.
That explained the strange noise I'd heard the night before. The outlaw had pulled off a daring ruse. The discovery had the whole camp stirred up, except for Herman and Mrs. Kincaid, who seemed to take it all in stride. By sunup, the search party returned. After 24 hours in the saddle, they were too worn out to continue the hunt. While the men flung themselves down for a few hours' rest, Matt told the sheriff what had happened.
Well, looks like the chase was hopeless anyway. That outlaw no doubt heard me say we was heading north. And now he's probably way down south. Utah, most likely. Plenty of forests and mountains hiding down there.
Sheriff, there's something about this that just don't smell right to me.
What do you mean?
I've been thinking about that shooting last night.
What about it?
Well, who do you think started it?
Oh, I reckon it was one of the boys I sent out ahead.
And what'd you find when you got to the bridge?
Nothing. It already took off after them outlaws. What do you get at, Matt?
I got a feeling one of your boys was in cahoots with them outlaws.
Oh, are you gone loco?
You got a traitor in your posse, Sheriff. He done that shooting to draw you away from camp so that thieving varmint could escape.
Now, Matt, you're just fired up about losing
your
horse.
You're darn right I'm fired up. I think Murdoch's the one behind this. He's the one's got my horse.
We'll get your horse back.
I'm going after Murdoch myself.
Don't be a darn fool.
I ain't the one looking foolish right now. Get out of my way, Sheriff.
Mrs. Kincaid, you sure got yourself one hot-headed trail boss there.
Well, that horse means a lot to Matt, Sheriff. He raised Happy Jack from a colt, broke him himself. He has to at least try to find him.
Well, for his sake, ma'am, I hope he don't.
Miss Kincaid, ma'am?
Hmm? What is it, New York?
I got something to tell you.
All right, let's hear it then.
I want to quit.
You want to quit? Well, looks like you've done it.
It's not what you think. I'm sick.
Oh, I know you are. I've seen men get sick before when they're scared to death.
My old daddy...
Oh, yeah, I know. He waded the creek one time. And you've had cold feet ever since.
Poor New York. I felt sorry for him. I had cold feet myself by that time. I was anxious to warm them by my own fire, where a pair of calm blue eyes would reassure me. I never did get to see the roping and the branding. It couldn't have been too exciting anyway, after all that had happened. The sheriff accompanied me on the way home. When we drove up to the house that evening, I heard a most welcome sound.
Clyde, I'm home.
Hello, lass. Oh, you are a welcome sight. I missed you.
And I missed you. Oh, Clyde, you can't imagine.
Did you know like the roundup?
Oh, it wasn't the kind I expected, that's for sure.
What happened?
Well, it all started last night with a shooting at the bridge. The sheriff and his posse...
The sheriff?
Yes, he was after the horse thieves.
You don't mean those horse thieves were up there?
I'll say they were. At least one of them was. He hid himself right there in our camp. Then there was the shooting, and it was supposed to be a signal for the sheriff.
The shooting?
Just gunshots in the night. And Matt, that's Mrs. Kincaid's trail boss, he said it must have been a traitor in the posse who started it.
Started what?
The volley of shots we all heard. And I guess Matt was right because the sheriff, he rode back here with me. He found out today that one of his men is missing. Fit to be tied about
now,
he
was. Slow down, lass, slow down. I cannot understand what happened.
I'm not sure I understand myself. Seems to me that life on that range out there is all beginnings and middles, with never any kind of endings at all.
You must be tired. You can tell me all about it later. Oh, it's good to have you home again.
And it's good to have your arms around me again. I've seen enough of the wild life on the range, well, for a while anyway. Clyde, would you do something for me?
You know I would.
Would you play me a tune on your pipes?
Oh, I will with pleasure, my bonny lass. What is it you'd like to hear?
Why, Clyde Stewart, don't you know? I'd like to hear your special favorite, of course.
The Mutual Radio Theater is brought to you five nights a week at this time. Tonight's original radio play, The Horse Thieves, was written by Ann Heath and produced and directed by Fletcher Markle. Your host was Lorne Green. Our stars were Joan McCall and Alan Young. Featured in the cast were Peggy Weber, Harley Bear, Joe Maross, Sam Edwards, and Ed McNamara. The music for Radio Theater was composed and conducted by Nelson Riddle. John Harlan speaking. The Elliott Lewis production of Radio Theater is a presentation of CVI.
This is Andy Griffith. Join us tomorrow at this same time. I've got another story I think you'll find riotously amusing.